grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, love boat, bud, Buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in, man.
Hello, hello,
hello.
Chris Valley from Normal New Zealand and the Hempster up on K Road.
G'day.
Hi.
What's going down,
man? And Z-Can.
Z-Can as well.
Third hat.
See, one day you're going to have to make the transition and just pick one.
Yeah, I should really. But No, we can wear multi-hats.
Tell you what, this cold snap has got me freaking out about my gardening activities. I'll say that much. If it gets below 10 degrees, yeah, we're in deep shit.
Oh, you might be a bit early, are you?
Wow.
Are you talking that kind of gardening?
Yeah.
The guerrilla style?
Mm-hmm.
Good on you.
Thanks, man.
Good on you. Actually, you'd be surprised what happens out there. I was given some... I viewed some cannabis the other day.
I viewed it,
and it was it was grown in the Auckland motorway system, just in the you know, right there.
What better fuck you than that? Hey, that's mint.
Yeah, I thought so too.
It's a beautiful
good,
thing.
Good on them.
Big news
of the day though is that Canberra.
Oh, look at them over there.
What?
It's the Garden City. It makes so much sense that they should be chucking a bit of DAC in there.
Who are we talking about?
Canberra.
Oh, Canberra. Are they the Garden City?
Yeah,
I didn't know that. I thought that was Christchurch.
I don't know. I've driven through.
Okay.
Well, that's a different. That's our country.
Every
country's got a windy town and all that crap. You know what I mean?
So they've always had one of the most liberal laws of Aussie. Who were kind of like, there was a bit of a spate of law reform in the 90s, and they kind of brought in instant fines and kind of called it decrim, but it wasn't really. The police, and just about everywhere they brought this in Australia, the police have gone harder, and because it's easier. And that's one of the worries with that kind of system as we debate cannabis law reform. If we go, oh yeah, I'm not into legalisation, but I'd go decrim. We hear a lot of that, but actually decrim, like what's happened in Australia, it often just lets the police go even harder. Mm. And certainly what happened over there is when people don't pay their fines, which is what happens when they get multiple fines, and people who are targeted, just like they are with all drug laws, they target poor people and oppressed people, can't pay their fines, and then the original charge comes back, and actual cannabis charges went up in Australia under those models. So here we have Canberra, is a bill, I believe it passed yesterday, and it legalises personal use at home, lets you grow two plants, possess 18 to 50 grams, which I'm not sure why there's a 18 to 50 grams. You can't have less than 18 grams, maybe.
Right.
Don't run out. I think that might be in the law.
So really, you can only stay 2 kilometres from your house.
Two plants and no hydro, and they made sure no hydro. I thought that was weird. But they've got a thing about hydro in Aussie. They think it's, you must be a gang. Can't grow it in the community garden.
It's kind of hard.
I thought that was interesting. Interesting rule.
Any time I've smoked a bit of weed in Australia, it's always been like, well, you've had a hard time out in the sun, little bugger, kind of thing. So I worry about that.
Yeah, that's true. So it's not going to deal to the illicit market, because with two plants, it'll be hard for people to stay self-sufficient, especially if they're not allowed to do hydro. So if they're limited to outdoor, that's once a year.
Yeah, when's it a plant? Just even when it's sprouted?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, and then if you decide to go like they do in America, where they limit things on plants and that in a lot of states, then people grow massive trees. But then this is saying,
You can grow far out. I've seen some pictures of some pretty epic weed trees.
Yeah, and then you even harvest one, and you're going to be over that 50 gram limit. Yeah. So that's one of the things when you have these presumptions and these plant limits, which we have in our current law. Like at the moment, if you have more than 10 plants, you're guilty of growing for supply, and the police don't need to provide any evidence whatsoever. It's up to you to prove your innocence, putting the usual principles of justice, flipping it on their head. And likewise, more than 28 grams. So, you know, you grow like even one plant, you're going to have more than 28 grams. So it's kind of weird, but it's 100 joints. So, if people rolled up their, harvest in big sheets of newspaper they had 99 joints, then that might keep them within it. But anyway, that's one of the things about not having these limits. So the model that's under discussion here, and it'll be interesting to see whether they stick to this, because with the cabinet paper that Andrew Little released in May, it put, instead of having plant limits and going, well, should it be 8, should it be 10, should it be 2, like Canberra, no hydro, and having these kind of arguments over that, and then people getting caught out. This was something as well that came out up in Parliament, or in the symposium that was in Parliament a couple of weeks, the Drug Foundation organised. Whenever you create these rules, then the people who are slightly outside that can get even worse treatment than now. Okay. So say, for example, if you limit it to 2, and then if you grow 3, do you get the police arresting you, like more likely to arrest you?
Because they can.
Yeah, and before they might have let you go, but now, no, we're cracking down on that because you've got one too many, because, you know, rah, rah, rah. So you get these unintended consequences of it. So the cabinet paper that Andrew Little put out, it, rightly, we totally agree with this, it treats it like alcohol. You can brew your own at home,
right.
Don't sell it. And they're not trying to argue about how much you can brew, how much beer in your basement you can have, or how much cannabis you can have, but you keep it out of reach of children and you don't sell it, and there's no problem. You can share it with your friends. So that will be really interesting to see if that actually carries forward, because I know that I met with the Ministry of Justice last week, and I know that they're doing some rounds particularly at the moment, consulting with people, with Māori organisations and communities about how law reform will affect them, and they're doing quite a bit of work at the moment, and it'll be interesting, I think, how that actually
whereabouts
comes
is
out.
Nimbin in relation to Canberra.
Well, Nimbin's in New South Wales. It's up the top, nearer, you know, up that end.
That's the spot, so to speak.
Well, they're both little oases, and so is Canberra inside New South Wales? I can't recall where exactly it is. Nimbin recently got raided. It is like a hippie town. Like Amsterdam, it's been associated with cannabis for a very, very long time. But it's had a lot of police attention lately, got to say. They're going in the opposite direction. Apart from what's happened in Canberra yesterday, Australia in general is going in the opposite direction to New Zealand and the rest of the world. But the other thing, so I just wanted to mention as well, there's a really good article on the spin-off this week called, where is it? 5 Ways to Make the Best Bill Ahead of Next Year's 2020 Cannabis Referendum. And, you know, there you go, it's all in the headline. But this is coverage of this parliamentary symposium that I mentioned, that the Drug Foundation organised. And they've very handily, and I got to say I do agree with it, listed some really good things. And that is, you know, you got to have the focus on, one, minimising harm. And that means, of course, including in that, the harm of the system and of the law enforcement, of the imprisoning people, and of the failure of the drug law to keep it out and away from vulnerable people, and to kind of minimise the harms of the drugs. If the law itself has failed, then let's try something else. And making our community safer, you know, really putting that at the front of it. And they're quoting here that Helen Clark, and of course I was there, Helen Clark told the symposium that we've got to actually expunge the records. That has to be part of the package, and you've got to include support for people to actually move from the illegal market to the legal one. So not just saying, oh, you can if you want to, but actually supporting them to do that. And that's what we're finding in America. They're providing low interest loans, and they're doing things like points-based systems to get people points, people who have been oppressed the most, get to the front of the queue in the licensing system, or putting controls over the ethics or the effective control over who's behind the company to kind of keep out the kind of big business types.
Why would you not expunge someone's criminal record for a cannabis conviction when it's going to be legal? Why would you not do that? What's
exactly
the point of...
Exactly. So I think that's what most people are expecting. And I personally think this is how you make the law achieve good things. So it's not just all about business and money, but it's about righting the wrongs and putting things right. And I actually asked the Ministry of Justice this last week when I met them. Let's see expungement as part of it. And they actually view it as separate, and they think it will complicate the referendum, and that then you're kind of voting on two things in the referendum.
Could they just do it afterwards?
I kind of see the point.
But that doesn't even need to be voted on. That should just be a conscious decision of the parliament, I think.
Exactly. Yeah, that's another thing too, is it could closely follow it, but or there could be some sort of expectation that parliament will do it. But with homosexual law reform, it took like 30, 40 years or something.
Wow.
So
wow.
You'd like to think that it would be, you know, if you did that now, it would be part of that package.
I think one of the sort of tricky things about it is often people have a cannabis conviction, but it's lapped up with a lot of other convictions as well, and I guess that's where it gets a little bit tricky.
That's true. You can you know, say things like, well, you just wipe the cannabis part and you keep the other one.
Yeah.
So if they were part of some sort of other crime,
but
then
what
that,
if they came
that,
into the house because of the cannabis and found other stuff?
Well, then there's that other crime there.
So the intent would have been...
Then there's the burglary, or then there's the thing. So that's the thing. The other crime will still be there. So expunging the cannabis part, you know, is not going to all of a sudden let these real crimes go free. But for the vast majority of people, there is no other crime.
I don't think you'll see...
But what
like,
they've
I don't
done
think
in...
see many people, like... being like, I'm freed from prison just because they're cannabis. Because often, it's a far more
there's
serious...
a few dozen in there at any one time. And certainly, for use, there aren't a huge number that are sent there to prison just for use. But there are a few. But in terms of growing or supply, there are. And even things like having a pipe, because that's like a year in prison. So
the
courts sort of treat that as harsher. Yeah, but certainly in California, they actually set up a commission because they have different levels of police in that, so they kind of actively go through the different police databases and they contact people proactively. This is all part of the taxes of where it's being put to from that, that is paying for that. So they're identifying people with convictions that are eligible for expungement, contacting them and helping them go through that process. So, you know, this is the kind of thing that we can do here, and if we build that into the bill, the cannabis bill, this is the kind of ways that we get public support behind it. So it's a popular thing because it's seen to be doing good things.
Cool.
Interesting. Someone's just messaged in, Chris, on the text machine, just regarding the situation in Australia, and they've said, a friend of mine is a promoter in Sydney, runs a boutique festival for 5,000 people. He had to pay more for police than were seconded or sent to Glastonbury this year. More police on site at an Australian festival than at Glastonbury.
Wow. And you know the kinds of things they're doing now, this has just really happened over the last year or so, is drug sniffer dogs on the outside of the festivals, at the queue and the kind of gate, and then inside
cute,
it,
that's
and then
cute.
Through the campground too, and actually going through people's tents.
They're
and strip searching people, and they take around these kind of portable fencey things with a bit of curtaining.
Just make a little jail up.
It's just a fence like you see around a construction site, but with the kind of curtaining attached to it, and they're setting these up in train stations in Sydney and just pulling people off the platform or the train and strip searching them, and 70% of the searches, there is nothing found. They are innocent more often than not, and they are being strip searched. The whole bend over and cough, like the full yards, just because you're in public walking along in Sydney.
Heavy.
Yeah. So there's your kind of option of where it could go. Canberra, kind of in context, what they're doing is pretty out there. And people are saying, again, like what's happened in America, because they've got multi-levels of police, then Canberra is going to legalise, but still illegal under what's called Commonwealth law. So it gets a little bit complicated, but there is, someone else was pointing to, that they have a defence under their Commonwealth law. So it all gets complicated. But here, of course, it's a lot simpler. And we got a year to work it out anyway. But as I said before, the Ministry of Justice is doing a big round of consultation right now, particularly among the Māori community. So if that is you, you just Google Cannabis Referendum and Ministry of Justice, and you'll go right to their page, and it's got their email. And send them your thoughts, or ask them when they're going to be in your town.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, Chris.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you very much, mate.
All right, see ya.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.